Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith.
And we are joined today by a few actors from Nothing Without a Company to talk about their currently ongoing production of The Kid Thing.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem. So if you want, just go ahead and each of you say your name and kind of your involvement with the company.
Awesome. I'm Taylor, and I play Margot in The Kid Thing.
Cool.
I'm Anna Rose, E.E. Epstein. I play Nate in The Kid Thing, and I'm also the co-artistic director and founder.
And I'm Shaylin. I play Darcy in The Kid Thing.
Nice.
Cool.
So we actually found out about your project from Rose Freeman shouting you guys out at the end of our latest episode that featured her.
Thanks, Rose.
Yeah, at the end of every episode, we give everybody the opportunity to do like a solid shout out for like whatever their next upcoming project is, or like something, a group that they think is doing just like really good work. And Rose was like, I've got one. Nothing Without a Company, The Kid Thing.
That was so nice of her.
Yeah. She's an artistic associate with us. So
cool.
She's a cool lady.
And just like testament to how on it the theater community is, you messaged us like the next day and you're like, so you're getting us on the show, right? And I was like, of course, yeah, let's figure it out. Which was super cool.
I listened to it, and because she said she gave us a shout out, and so I had to listen hear it, and then I was like, they sound cool, I want to talk to them.
Thank you.
Oh my god,
cool.
First of all, I mean, we can talk about The Kid Thing, or we can talk about Nothing With It.
I'd like to talk to us about Nothing Without a Company, because you said you founded it.
Sure, yeah. So I mean, a whole bunch of friends at DePaul at the time, we had our first apartment ever, and we were like, let's do a show. It's the summer. We don't have anything to do. Let's make it happen. So we wrote a show for our apartment, and it went really well, and people asked us to do... And we didn't ask for money, but people were giving us money, so we raised like $700. I know. So we were like, what are we gonna do with this money? So another founder had a connection in Atlanta, Georgia, and wanted to give us a free space for 2 weeks. So we drove to Atlanta, Georgia, and put more of our own money into it, and like wrote and promoted and rehearsed a show and a few days, and it was not the greatest show, but we learned a lot. Then people kept asking us to do shows, and finally after the fourth or fifth show, we were like, maybe we should incorporate. So we became a nonprofit in 2008. We started doing shows in 2005, and so we've been really underground for a long time, but doing free theater from 2005 to 2014, and realized we needed to be more financially sustainable, because we were giving the money that we did have to our artists in our production as opposed to paying staff. So in 2014, we were like, we need to have staff and pay them as well. So we started finally charging for tickets, and everything just got much better quality. And we just got Jeff recommended for the first time with The Kid Thing. Yay. Which is incredible.
Well, would you mind actually talking about that as a concept? Because I know we're starting to get more and more people that are of the theater mentality. As listeners, but I think those of us from like opera minded or classical music don't necessarily know what that means.
Yeah. I describe it like the Tonys, but in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So, like the Jeffs are like the Tonys of Chicago. Yeah. Is that how y'all would describe it?
That's exactly how I describe
it. Yeah. And it's like, to be recommended, people come and adjudicate it on opening night, and it's like everyone agrees that there's at least one element in your production that is worthy to be considered for an award.
Mm.
So once you get recommended, like all of the Jeff... judges, I don't know, come and they watch our show and they just
judge it.
But they've been judging it well.
So then once you're Jeff recommended, does that carry over then into like nomination season? Like then the nominations are decided from the pool of Jeff recommended shows?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that actually sounds less like harrowing than like for the Jeff people than being like, let's evaluate all of the shows that happened in Chicago this year with nothing to base it off of other than, oh yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's cool.
I think the more Jeff members that come to the show, the better, because then the more
votes
votes, I think. Cool. I actually really don't know much about how it works, and I'm also acting in the show, so I'm trying not to know too much, so right. I don't get intimidated. Yeah. But
well, I love that whole, the story of it starting really with just a gift of a space, because I feel like that's so, I feel like if you don't have much of a spare budget, but you like want to donate to a company or like help out a company and you for some reason have access to a space, like companies can do so much with that.
Yeah, we do immersive site-specific theater, right. So I'm not interested in theater spaces. I'm interested in interesting locations.
Yeah, well, so the part of you guys starting literally in your apartment resonates deeply because we are currently in mine and Daniel's apartment. Mm-hmm. And
with
we
this
are,
podcast.
And yeah. We are starting something really cool and like, you know, just working, the idea of just like working with literally the place where you sleep is, and like nothing else with just a hope and a prayer, like totally get it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's really cool that you guys had the initiative and the desire to be like, yeah, we've got this apartment, let's put on a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we actually were working out of our apartment down the street from y'all for a really long time, but we're residents at Burger Park now, so that's our home, and we have a small little storage space in there. We're still working like office hours out of my apartment a lot of the time, but we have rehearsal space and we have a meeting space that's not in my apartment, so that's really nice.
That is really nice.
Burger Park is a really great space. It's really pretty because it's right on the water.
Beautiful.
There.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's and like North Chicago is weird because there's a couple like beach spaces, obviously, but I don't know. You don't get a lot of those kind of like parky areas that you can walk like that. And there's like the weird restaurant that's up in the summer there too.
Yeah. I just met the owner. He's very
nice. Cafe.
Cool.
I see it.
Yeah.
I've never been there.
Yeah. I had my eye on that place for 4 years. And we're actually a resident in the North Mansion, which was closed for a really long time. And I told the JD, who's awesome, the guy who runs the park, when you open this place, please tell me. And I ended up calling him like 2 weeks after they opened it. And he said, I've been meaning to call you. We just opened it. And I said, yes, let's start the paperwork. And then 6 months later, we were arts residents. Sorry, you might have to cut that
off. No, you're fine.
Oh, I scared the kitty. Sorry, kitty. It's okay. It's okay.
She's very weirdly excitable.
Moody,
for that kind of thing.
One might say.
Well, so
she's pretty moody.
Yeah, she is.
Kitty's
your boots.
Yeah. Yeah, Moody's move is to lay on a thing on the floor. She doesn't lay on the floor. She won't lay on a chair. She will lay on a thing
that
on
makes
the floor.
Sense. I was on the floor and then she laid on me. I was
you
that
were,
thing on the
you
floor.
You were the thing on the floor. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Well, Burger Park's cool too because it's very interesting, I think, for site-specific because it is so unique. So what? Tell us a little bit about the kid thing and like how does that kind of play into that environment?
Yeah.
Well, the kid thing takes place in a living room. That's great. Let's all awkwardly look at each other.
I was just going to look at you until you said something.
Great. So great. I talk too much, so.
I talked about the cat. Typical.
That's we do that. We do that all the time, honestly. Like the like. Do you want to talk or do I want to talk?
Or there will be times where I'll have a question and he always has a question, and so someone will be talking and I'll go. I'll just like put my hand in his mouth, and be like, "I'm next." So
my turn.
Yes. So it takes place in the living room.
It takes place in the living room. It's set in Darcy and Lee's apartment. So when you come into the space, you're sitting in Darcy and Lee's living room with us, which is kind of nice. I think that the feedback from the audience has been really cool. They feel like they're a part of it. They feel like they're listening to conversations that they shouldn't be, and that they're seeing people's lives in the most intimate ways because you shouldn't be there. You know, flies on the wall.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing that I've been told post show has been like, I just felt like I shouldn't have been in that room, but I was, and you just kind of have to ride that wave with them. Waves.
Multiple.
I guess. Multiple waves.
A lot of waves.
Which is cool.
It's tricky with site-specific theater because we're trying to transition into being more legitimate, and to find an apartment that's actually properly zoned for performance is pretty impossible. Mm-hmm. So seeing the space that we had at Burger and wanting to do this show for about 6 years, it was a perfect space for the show.
So tell us a little bit about like the nuts and bolts of the show. Like give us the lowdown and like what made you want to do it for so long?
Well, Sarah Gubbins was a professor of mine at Columbia, and I had a big crush on her. she was like, I was just out at the time. I came out my junior year, and she's totally my type, and I was totally intimidated by her, and I was in a writing class with her, and I have dyslexia, and I turned in the worst papers, and I felt really embarrassed, but I later on went to see this reading that she wrote with dramatists and about face theater at Steppenwolf. They did like a reading after the workshop, and I went with my wife, and it really affected us both because it was about the kid thing and being a lesbian and or being women. And we both knew, and it took place in an apartment, so site-specific. So we knew that we wanted to do it, but we also had to wait a few years because we were in our mid-20s, and the characters are a little older. Mm-hmm. And the company was just not in a place to do a published play. This is the first published play we've done. We've only done new work.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of all fell together in the best way possible, and then we had like the best people come in and audition for the show too, so I'm glad that we waited because we found the right cast.
That's what I was gonna say. Thanks for waiting. I just got here.
Yeah, this is Shaylin's premiere production.
Yes, my Chicago debut.
Where'd you come from?
St. Louis. Oh. Just about, what's today, about 6.5 months ago, and it's been good. Yeah. Super cool that it's my first production for a play that's so close to home. Mm-hmm. Character who's very similar to me, some might say.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about not necessarily the show, but like the thing you were talking about, the kid thing. I think that's such an interesting thought, especially for feminist-minded people. I feel like there's a lot of conversations to be had about I'm entering a conversation mm-hmm. as the white straight man about this.
How do I word this?
But I think there's something to be said about I don't want to say the word burden, but also like figuring out self and figuring out what you want out of life and what you want to be doing. And I think that there's like expectations of having children and not having children, and then throwing into all of that equation, if all of what I've just said even makes sense, figuring out self and sexuality and all of that. And I'm assuming that it sounds like that's kind of what this play tackles, but you guys have mentioned a couple times that personally that's kind of a thing that that's brought you to the work. What's been the challenge of working with something like that, that is very heavy for you, potentially heavy for the audience? What are some of the things that have been great about it, and what are some of the things that have been difficult?
Yeah, those are lots of questions.
That's my specialty.
First, I want to address a phrase that is very common that we've used multiple times in this conversation. You guys, it's a very old-fashioned term, and I'm trying to stray away from that because I just did a show called Transformation about all trans and gender nonconforming mm-hmm. artists. And so I actually was able to get that out of my vocabulary for a while, except my character says that phrase like 5 or 6 times. So, but which is interesting is Shaylin's and my character, do you want to talk about it? We get mistaken for dudes.
We're the most, you know, androgynous, some might say butch characters of the play. And, Where are we going with that one?
I don't know, actually.
Well, it is interesting because if you start thinking about why someone is that, or why, like, there's it's almost like people want to automatically assume that someone wants to play into the gender dichotomy or the gender binary when that is a thing, but it's not necessarily why someone maybe feels that way or identifies that way is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. I'm trying not to have too many spoilers for
the
show.
I know. It's hard not to give away spoilers because you think you know what the play is about, and then there's so many twists and turns that it's hard to talk about it without just... I mean, I just like to say that, you know, friends come over, some information's revealed, drama ensues. But that doesn't really give you the best description. Yeah.
So my character is described in the show as a skater boy. Like, I could be... someone's calling me. I could be mistaken for a skater boy, except my character wants nothing in life except to have a child and be a mom. And then Darcy feels very different.
It's like similar stories, but they just went the different way. My character's described as a Cary Grant-esque, very straight and narrow, classy. And you know that her life experiences in that identity have pushed her in the opposite direction. Kids are not on the forefront of her life plan, but life is, I don't know, somewhat pushing in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that's, yeah.
That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. Cool.
They don't see it, but they will.
Are you guys going to come? I hope you come. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to. I mean,
you
now
said you guys.
It's hard.
It is hard.
I've heard another really good replacement for that is y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all.
And for some reason, I feel so silly saying that.
You lived in Florida. What are you talking about?
I don't know. It's just maybe because I'm not originally from Florida.
That's what it
I
is.
Lived in New York first and then moved to Florida. So I feel like saying y'all is like.
I'm from Wisconsin, I would feel like a butt just being like, hey, y'all.
Yeah.
But I think that the fact that it is less gendered is a point in y'all's favor.
Well, I'm originally from Texas, and I give y'all permission.
Yes! Yes! Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
Comes naturally to me.
Yeah.
No, and that's, you know, that's something that I hadn't considered. You know, I really love doing this podcast. I feel like I'm
going a different direction.
No, right. I know. I just like, just because we've in the past month, we've gotten to talk to people we otherwise wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're learning, like, I've become so much more progressive in the past month. Not that I wasn't.
Good for you.
Not from lack of wanting to before, but just from access to new perspectives. Mm-hmm. And
beautiful.
So like,
yeah.
I'm glad that you pointed out that we were using that
no
term
problem.
and thank you for just being like, hey, that's gendered, because it was like a light bulb moment. Like, of course it's gendered.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle called me fascist this morning on Facebook.
Which is amazing, because when you look at it, if you try and turn around the other direction, it's like, come on.
You broker. That was my
nuts.
Reaction, too.
Oh, my God.
It was even funnier because there's a line in our show about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he hasn't been to our show. He lives in California.
I doubt he'll be coming.
Well, yeah, he called you a fascist.
Yeah. I called him out for making a stupid joke and using the word tranny, and I've called him out on it multiple
just
times.
Because our show is
also
the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in the show.
So much.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't
common
mention
vernacular.
We didn't mention that the show actually takes place in
2009.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's written in 2009. Lots of stuff happening there. Gay marriage was not legal.
Yeah.
But it's a good example of the fact that we have kind of grown a little bit more
as
a society, but are still in a place to continue to grow.
How has that been, kind of living in at least living in your character's world of pre, like, 2015, like, pre-marriage America?
We had a conversation about rings.
We did, because I kind of thought that our characters, just the way that they are written, would have enough of a commitment to each other to wear wedding rings, even though they weren't technically married. Both of the couples in the show have been together for 5+ years. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it was a conversation about...
Really committed.
Being committed. Shut up. It was a conversation about commitment. And that's what a ring is symbolic. That's what it symbolizes to me. I don't think that Taylor doesn't need marriage in order to be committed. Mm-hmm. And so we had a conversation about it. There was a point in time where I really hated my character and then decided we shouldn't wear the rings. It's like, fuck the rings. We shouldn't even wear them. We don't deserve them.
And then I was like, but the other characters aren't wearing rings. And it's we're about to have a baby. Like, I was very like, I think our character should have
I think
rings.
It grounds mm-hmm. our relationship a little bit more to have the rings on. For me, it does.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so...
We had a lot of conversations like that. Like, what do you think? What do you think?
We did.
I wish that we had those conversations more in opera, because I think, like, objects are such a strong symbol for, like, dynamics, and that's such a clear example of that, I feel. Yeah. Is like, yeah. How, like, and not acknowledging that as part of the plot and as part of, like, your own character development and understanding your own character, I think is really potentially negligent.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. I didn't really have a question, though. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, I agree. And I think that a big part of it is that in opera, a lot of the subject matter does come from a more problematic time of, like, the 18th, 19th century mm-hmm. in Europe, where, you know, gender roles were very defined and
a lot less of the details are up for debate.
Yeah, where it's just like, this is institutionalized that Susanna and Figaro are about to get married, and Susanna is going to be the wife and Figaro is going to be the husband, and yeah. that is just how that's gonna go. And whereas, like, I feel like now there's a lot more fluidity in that, and like the decision to, because I know married couples who don't wear rings, mm-hmm. and so to have that conversation, that yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Are they in open relationships or
no?
I'm just curious.
They just don't wear. I'm thinking one
got
married
a
couple
on their.
They just decided that they didn't need it.
Cool.
And so, like, I think that there's a lot of. I think that there's a lot more fluidity and freedom now than there otherwise would have been, and to have that discussion I think is important.
Yeah. Well, so my question is about the performance in Burger Park specifically. Where, so are the audience standing or seated?
Seated.
And is it like in the round, or is it like, how is the, so ooh, if, ooh, you're so giving you me like, the eye.
If you imagine this space.
Yeah.
That space.
So like a standard, like a standard, like imagine like a standard living room.
Right.
Standard living room. They're like, sitting just right. Yeah. They're sitting in the living room. There are 3 rows of chairs.
Oh.
Where they are just literally sitting in the living space.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah.
So, but it's pretty immediate.
We are literally this close to you.
I have audience members move their feet for me frequently. Yeah.
Me too.
You know, because there's the way it's set up is like we have a couple different rooms that we use. We use mm-hmm. a kitchen, we use a second room, we use a living room, and people are, as we cross, you know, this ways and that ways, this doesn't matter.
podcast gold, as we call it.
Oftentimes people, you can, you know, they're doing this. They, essentially, I could shake my sweat,
because
I have a sweater on the front row. Yeah.
And the audience, and so the audience doesn't move when you move rooms? Okay,
no.
Cool.
I eat in the show a lot too, and yeah, I can totally tell audience members being like, "Can I have some of that?" Oh yeah.
I'd feel so self-conscious because about like eating too loudly.
I do sometimes, but I've like figured out the moments where it's like funny to be louder and like I should be softer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the last Sunday show, I was moving around more than I normally do, and.
Anna Rose was really excited because her wife Hannah was gone on vacation and she had just come back on Sunday, and Anna Rose had all the fucking energy.
There was so much energy.
Great show.
It was a fantastic
has
show.
Energy.
She was a bit more drunk that night than normal. She was so fidgety.
Not really drunk.
No, fake drunk.
We drink water.
Stage drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So with three rows of chairs, how many audience members are able to be there?
We fit 30
people. Cool.
That is super intimate theater.
Oh, very. Yeah.
It's fun, though. I've done intimate opera a couple times, which is a really weird, interesting, but also very rewarding experience because there's something about getting to watch the reaction unfold more immediately. And I'd only imagine when you're working as close as you guys are that that's even more true.
You said it. So vocal. You guys.
Damn, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. It's interesting in the show when some of those, you know, aforementioned twists happen. It's such an intimate experience that the audience feels comfortable to just be vocal. Breath and sound. There's a lot of like,
so much.
Oh my god! Like I think the other night I heard, oh no. There are times when my character gets a little outspoken, we'll call it. I actually heard someone the other day just be like, oh my, no, 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 and it's interesting having that happen like 3 feet from you.
Yeah.
Our green room is upstairs and we have to be really quiet walking to the green room. It's really awesome to have Taylor come in after one of the scenes. And I ask her like, how the audience react? Like, were they vocal tonight? And
they always, last Sunday they reacted to things in a different spot than they normally did. They figured out like a twist quicker than they normally had. And I just thought it was funny. I don't know. It's just very interesting to me. And they will always hear it. We will always hear it.
Wow. Yeah. Every night.
Those kinds of things are always different every time, though. It's always interesting to me that two audiences can react so differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't really know.
And we're on point, like, every time.
We are perfect.
Yeah.
Never had a bad show. Not one.
We never miss lines. We never spill things.
Okay, I said the other day, I'm supposed to ask, do you have a donor in mind? And I said, do you have a stoner in mind? Oops. I corrected it, but then I asked the audience and they thought it was meant to be, so it's fine.
Happens quick. Everything happens so quick.
Now, is there like a talk back afterward, or you just ask because it's such a small group?
We do. I have a like semi-speech after where we ask for donations and
take a picture.
I take a picture of the audience, and then I say we love to mingle, which is a total lie because a lot of.
Well, now you've told
Anna
them.
Anna Rose loves to mingle.
Anna Rose loves it. Anna Rose thinks it's great.
Taylor hates it.
Taylor.
She's getting better at it.
Loves to mingle. Taylor mingles.
I'm indifferent. Depends.
So some people will stay after and wait for us to
Gabe
talk.
Gabe loves to mingle.
It's great. That's cool.
Well, it's hard because sometimes it's just like, I want to go home. Like, I, you know.
Yeah.
Because especially after you've just performed and you've like given all this energy and...
Yeah. I used to feel that way, but I know that audience likes to have that connection.
That's why I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to give people what they want. So... I'm a pleaser.
If you want to talk to me, I will be there.
I like to say thank you. I like to tell them thanks for coming. Yeah. It's usually all I say. I just walk around with a big goofy smile. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's all I do. Thank you so much.
So where can people find information about the kid thing? Like on nothingwithoutacompany.com or...
Well, okay, so how...
.org.
.org.
Yep, we're a nonprofit.
Nice.
And how long has the run been going?
That was so long ago. When did we open?
We opened formally on the 16th.
16th of this month.
Yeah. March. We're going until April
15th.
We're Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 7:30. And you can get tickets on Brown Paper Tickets. Nothingwithoutacompany.org has the links. We also are very active on Instagram and Facebook. So if you want to like see backstage things.
For instance, this podcast is being Facebook Live
right now.
Right now.
Except when this airs. this will not be right now.
Nope.
Wow.
But with Facebook Live, you can like go back and watch the video later. So if you want to watch rare video of a Scoppy radio interview, where I'm wearing ombre firework.
We really nailed our best look.
Thank God I swept.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. This
is fun.
We're such artists.
I love your sweatshirt. I've been meaning to say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's very comfortable.
Love it.
Yeah, I wear it frequently.
Yeah, I would too.
So I'm interested in the idea of longer runs. I think that's cool because, and I'm sorry that we keep comparing theater and opera.
No worries.
I think it's interesting because I know a lot of, there's a lot of grassroots opera companies, and a lot of them usually only do one weekend. There's a couple that do longer runs. Do you guys normally do?
You guys.
I'm sorry. I was just.
All good. I got it this time, though. I got it this time, though.
Yeah, you got
nailed
it. Do you all normally do longer runs?
So we started doing longer runs to become Jeff eligible. There are certain requirements that you have to have for the Jeffs. And I'm being Jeff eligible was one of my goals for the next few years to be more legit. So we made that happen. We always intend to, this is like a little secret that I maybe should not say, but almost every single theater company in Chicago will announce a 4-week run, and then they actually have everyone contracted for a 5-week run, but they wait and say, it was so good, it was extended.
Yeah.
We always like forget to do that. We would have done that this time, but we forgot. And so we said, oh, we're going until the 15th. There will not be an extension, so everyone should come because we will not be extended. There's another show going into the space afterwards. So
there literally cannot be an extension.
Mm-hmm. It's also really hard to... it's hard to do a long run because you want to be able to pay people. And like... This show, I love giving people free things, but we've ended up like giving almost the amount of tickets that we've sold as comps. Mm. So like, we need people to buy tickets, and the tickets for industry are only $10, and general admission are $20. So
it's $11.34 with fees.
It's not expensive.
Is that the number?
That's real.
Cool.
For a 2-hour show, that's fucking badass.
No,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, I said fuck. That's fine, right?
It's, yeah, yeah, we're explicit. Explicit rating.
You're fucking good. Explicit.
It's fucking awesome.
Well, yeah.
It's only $20.
That's actually incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are shows in Milwaukee that I've gone to that have been just fine that I've paid more than that, and I'm sure.
Same.
Like that seals the deal. We're gonna go.
What's I would say this play is better than a pizza, and on average, I'm gonna spend $20 on a pizza, maybe some breadsticks.
Yeah,
and a tip.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're thinking,
and like,
come
I'm
see
not
show,
getting pizza in person, I'm getting it delivered to me.
I'm getting it delivered.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that the tagline of the kid thing? The kid thing. Better than a pizza.
Yeah.
And if you come on a Sunday, we might be getting rid of all of our cookies, so you might get an extra, you might get a cookie actually.
Yeah.
A homemade cookie by Marissa, our assistant production manager.
Amazing
production
theater and
designer.
A cookie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can you go
amazing
wrong?
Amazing theater and a cookie.
So I have a question. Have you found that your audience is made up of mostly people that
we
perform?
Need more lesbians?
Cool.
Is that the question?
Just
no,
yeah.
Everyone that's more lesbians.
We need more lesbians.
No, it's good to know.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. So I've found that with classical singing, it's really interesting where you have people that are putting on these kinds of grassroots, intimate, however it ends up planning out. But the market ends up being other performers. And the thing that's tricky about that is you're talking about people that are very much on a budget, that are working part-time. Is that something that you've found difficulty with? Do you find that there is a big audience of people that aren't in that boat?
I mean, we're constantly looking for non-theater people to come to our shows. Yeah. We did a 7:30 Sunday show specifically for industry, and we have our ticket prices so low so that industry can come. But as I'm sure they will attest to, I invite anyone on the street to come to our show.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Anna Rose is a walking invite. Yeah. Walking, living, breathing.
Do you get walkouts?
Walkouts? Like, is that people a thing? Walk out of the show?
Well, for some reason I'm thinking of, like, I don't know why I jumped to this thought, and it has nothing to do with the actual content of the show, but I was thinking of, like, in the stand-up tradition, I feel like there's a lot of that, where if you get people that maybe walked into the bar because it was there, because Burger's cool because there is a lot of people that kind of just filter walk around in that area, and so... Mm-hmm.
We do have someone at the door to make sure no one just walks in or out.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all I have on that one.
I don't think anyone has walked out.
I don't think anyone's left.
I feel like the show is too
actually, no, someone left at intermission because they came late and they were a person of a person that had hearing I'm trying to say this the correct way. Person with hearing loss. They're actually a neighbor of mine. And they missed a lot of the show because of that and where they were seated. So they actually are coming back this weekend.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, I guess I just think that's interesting, especially when it's that intimate. There are probably certain things that you can tell about the audience, like, I don't know.
If they're not liking it.
Or being on the phone, like on their phone or something like that.
There was one night where someone didn't turn their phone off.
Oh, yeah.
And so we kept hearing the phone buzz.
It was doing more than buzzing.
Well, it was buzzing when I was on stage, but when you, the second half of this scene, it was like ringing
was
for
some,
you.
Some song.
It was annoying.
It was like old polytonic, like early 2000 flip-flown. Like ringing,
and they just let it.
It
play.
Went twice. It rang for two full rings in a pretty heated moment.
But we were used to rehearsing with like people talking in the other room and overlapping dialogue. There's a lot of overlapping dialogue, so I think we handle it. Really
handle it. It's just annoying. We hear your phones.
Right. And
there's a thing that Lin-Manuel Miranda did when he was
who's that?
Nice.
So there's this show. But when he was on as Alexander Hamilton in Hamilton, what he would do is after every show, he would go on his social media and say, hey, second row, center section, halfway in, I saw you on your phone. Like,
fuck you.
So many people pay so much for these tickets. Like, basically, like, making it like or balcony, you know, front row. I saw you on your phone.
I
haven't seen Hamilton, but I'm assuming that he probably has a lot of like songs where he's speaking out.
Yeah.
So we. Because the space is so intimate, I was talking to somebody else about this, like, I intentionally, like, try to not make eye contact with anyone in the audience, because it's really
Didn't you
distracting.
Look in a mirror forever? There's a mirror on the back wall, so the audience can see their reflection in the mirror, and if we look into the mirror, we can see the audience.
I was...
That's how mirrors work.
I was looking at the audience for previews.
Oh, for previews, okay.
But I stopped doing it because it was making me nervous.
Yeah, it's not good.
So
I don't think I've ever.
I'm like this close to audience members for one of my scenes. So it's just it's more intimidating when you make eye contact with them by accident. So I'm like trying to not do that.
Mm.
And so I wouldn't know where the phone was because I ain't paying that much attention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
So I want to talk a little bit more about Nothing Without a Company. So you guys really focus on site specific. Oh, yeah.
Do over.
All right. Y'all focus on
Oh, yeah.
I've been thinking about it a lot, and like that, and when and like a quarter of my brain has been thinking about it a lot, and I feel like you all is not as
no, that's great.
What's the word I'm looking for? Like stereotyped feeling.
Yeah,
like,
twangy.
I feel like
I think it's the twang. I think I'm finding the twang.
Fight the twang.
I'm so glad you guys brought this to my attention. This is so important.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You say it again.
Oh God! Yeah, it's okay. Break my glasses. Okay.
You could say peeps.
Let's just start taking your shots.
All right. Every time you say you guys.
Okay. So
can we just smoke instead?
Yes. So you all are site specific. And I'm wondering, was that from your beginnings in the apartment and what have been some of the projects that you all have produced in other site specific spots?
For 3 years, we did a traveling performance of Alice in Wonderland in the park, which was actually a show that Rose brought to us. Genius idea.
Full circle.
Yes. we've done, bars are the easiest because people like to get drunk. I don't drink, but people like that. And we've done, we did a lot of outside shows for a long time, but there's so many things. We decided to not do the outside thing anymore. Mm-hmm. At least for now, and we were working with the Park District on that as well. So we're partnering with the Park District. So instead of them charging us hundreds of dollars to use the space, they said as long as it's a free performance, we could do it.
Cool.
Outside. That paperwork takes a while though.
Yeah.
We've done things in like alleyways and walking audiences through like on Broadway with musical numbers and fight scenes and what other locations. Like we have a show coming up that is four new pieces that take place in a bar, so we're putting them at Mary's Attic is such a great location because we don't use the stage in Mary's Attic. We set all of the scenes like throughout the space, so the audience is in one location to see one of the scenes and then like goes to another location in the bar to see the other scene. It's really like it's interactive, but not in a way that the audience has to do anything other than like move. Some audiences are good with like interacting. Like I'm fine with interacting, but I've learned that a lot of like normal general audience members don't want to participate.
I don't mind. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
I think it's fun.
But we also don't want to alienate our audiences.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. No, I think that's cool. Could you see yourselves doing a show in a traditional theater space?
The last show that we did was in a traditional theater space because it was a partnership with the Living Canvas, and what they do is they take the nude form and project images on top of their body to tell the story.
Cool.
And part of our vision statement is to give a safe space to the LGBTQIA community, and there wasn't anything really happening with trans and gender non-conforming artists, so we took in submissions from trans and gender non-conforming peeps, and then only cast trans, gender conforming, and got as many divisors as possible as we could find to really give them a voice. And with the projections, I couldn't find a space that really suited what we needed. So we ended up using Collaboration Studios, which was made into a theater a few years ago. But that's not really what we do, and we probably won't do that ever again. we're going to stick with our mission of immersive, site-specific.
That's really cool. Well, and that's something that you've done before. Like, so Daniel is one of the collaborators of Opera on Tap, which takes opera and puts it into bars.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's awesome. And one of your projects with that is Operatic Book Club.
Yeah.
We've
done a couple different things. The thing that I thought of immediately was, as far as with Opera on Tap is concerned, is because we do it in bars, there is a lot of immediate interaction with audience members sometimes. Usually it's just with, like, the front row. But that's... It's also interesting, too, because with that, most of the time I'm actually emceeing. So that's really easy. You can tell right away when you go up to someone with a microphone and go, like, hello, what's your name? And then they're like...
If they want to participate or not.
Yeah. Like, leave me alone. Like, yeah.
I'm not buying. Yeah.
I don't want my name on file anymore, yeah. No, but I think that's really interesting. And I think it's cool, too, when you can find something unique about a site or a space that really plays into what you're trying to accomplish with the work. Like, because you get that second level of... I think that maybe is the fleshing out of immersive, where it's almost like you're able to bring in other senses into the experience. And maybe that is similar with the kid thing, where it's this stifling environment, potentially. It really maybe plays... I mean, obviously, I don't know the show. But, like, I would imagine that it plays into maybe the conversations that are being told. I thought it was also interesting, something that you brought up pretty early on, which was that... not that... And I hope I'm not, like, putting the wrong idea onto the show, but the idea that maybe... the audience isn't completely comfortable the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
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 And I think that's such
the seating is comfortable.
The seating is comfortable. Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, we talk about some... There's a lot of uncomfortable subject matter that, you know, one of my good friends who saw it, and she won't mind me saying so, she's just a straight, cisgendered female, white, in you know, the theater world today, and... You know, some of the stuff that was talked about really kind of blew her mind. Like, as silly as that may sound, but there's some things that you... If it's not on your radar, there's no reason for you to think about it or for really to understand that this could be a reality for some people. And that can be uncomfortable when you're learning about other people's... Struggles or mm-hmm. troubles, especially if they're just not something that you can relate to. But I think it's important.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. I love doing it as an actor in such a tight space.
There was one review that came out, and everything in the review was good, except they mentioned that, like, it could have been done on a stage. And it's like, sure, you didn't read our mission, did you? that's not what we do. Thank you.
Thank you for playing.
The only thing I was going to say is that it also plays into the idea that, like, if art is sometimes imitative of life, like, life doesn't always go to the way that is satisfying to you. Do you know what I mean? But, mm-hmm. like, especially as an audience, like, you don't always have to go to something just so that what you think is 2 + 2 always equals 4. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
I think that there's a...
Maybe that's a bad example.
I think that there's a certain neatness to seeing theater on a stage.
Yeah.
Like, there's a certain, like the curtain rises. Disconnect. And
the audience is in the dark. Reality, and that is that.
Exactly.
The audience is not in the dark for this.
Right. That's cool. Yeah. Well, and it... Yeah.
Well, also, I think it plays on expectations, too. And I think being able to, like... try and take away the structure of expectation that we've all had to deal with for our lives, and other people obviously more so than others.
I wore this shirt. It says Legalize Gay.
Yeah.
And I used to wear... It was really popular for a few years, a while ago. And I would wear the shirt every single time I went to the airport, because my wife and I, this is probably TMI, sorry, my wife and I would travel with the dildo, and mm-hmm. we would always get the look from the dildo, but if I wore this, then the look was less, and, like, if I didn't have this, they would want to, like, unpack it and, like, see what it was, because a dildo looks like a gun, I guess. I have no idea. But if I was...
it does have that, like... I mean, depends on the shape.
But if I wore this, they didn't want to take it out, because they knew what it was.
That's funny.
I don't know where that story came from. I think I was just trying to say that... After like a few years of doing that, I realized that it was kind of, like, being gay was more of an okay thing, like a norm. I didn't have to feel like legalized gay was like the thing that had to be on the forefront. But since the new administration, I'm going to start wearing this more again, mm-hmm. because we're going back a little bit.
Yeah. Which is why this show is so important right now.
We're going back a lot.
Let me just say.
Well, and I think that it's, I'm really glad that you all are doing this, because I think it's really important to address struggles in a very transparent manner. I think that
transparency is key.
Yeah, absolutely. And putting it in a, I think that putting it in a spot where you are literally in these people's living rooms, seeing it unfold in front of you, I think it's really important. And I think it's the way to address people's differences and the beauty behind people's differences.
We've been getting that the show's really authentic, whatever that means. I think that just means that, like, people can relate to the characters more because we're right beside them.
Very human moments you get to see.
Because I agree, like, if it's same thing with, like, Transparent, the TV show, even though there are problems, the fact that he isn't trans and he's playing the part, but just showing the life of a trans person figuring out that they want to transition into being who they are out in public, and like seeing how their family relates to that, and just exactly what you said, just showing more people what they don't get to see because it's not their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about representation. We're very into the show Steven Universe,
it's really good.
It's a very good show. It's about this interplanetary kind of relationship. It's a kid's cartoon where these
I'm super into multi-dimensions.
Oh, you will love this show.
Here we go.
So there's this planet where it's all women. And they're all gems, and they all have different powers.
What?
And they all fight, and
they can like produce weapons out of their gems and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the women all they like fall in love, and it's a kids' cartoon. And one of the spoiler alert, but I don't care. one of the characters. Gems can fuse to become like more powerful versions of themselves.
Oh my gosh! And, what a beautiful metaphor.
It is.
Well,
it's
traditionally, only gems of the same, like only two rubies could fuse. But then a sapphire and a ruby fused because they were in love, and they live together as a fusion, and they're more powerful because of their love.
I want to die.
Yeah, and this is, and it's on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
it's an incredible show.
Thank you.
The first two seasons are on Hulu.
Oh, shout out to Sarah Gubbins, because she is, I think her pronouns are her. Yeah. She wrote I Love Dick, which is series on
new Amazon.
Yeah, so
nice.
There really are similar good. Themes in the kid thing and I Love Dick.
Cool.
Check out that I Love Dick.
Cool. Yeah, let's do we've got a couple minutes left, so at the end of every episode we always have our guests talk about their upcoming projects. For some sometimes it's a way more obvious kind of what that ends up looking like, but it can also be things you're really passionate about, things that other shout outs, and we like to give just like a minute plug for that. So if you all had anything that you wanted to talk about,
there you go. Good job.
You
had
all
to wrap it up with
love
it.
growth.
Yeah, go for it.
I had some things written down and then I forgot them at home.
You want to
So I'm really passionate about raising money for my theater company, which you can help us get $500 by voting daily on some Chevrolet link. It's on our Facebook page. till the end of the month. Plus, if we don't win this month, then we'll probably do it next month. And then I have a friend, James Rodriguez, who does fundraisers at Stage 773 for kids with cancer. He raises a shit ton of money for them. He gets, like, random people to perform songs, and the thing that he has coming up is April 15th, which is the day that we close, but I'm performing at 2 o'clock and doing, it's a gender bending thing, so I'm performing Oombop by, who's the artist?
Hanson.
Yes! And also Bye 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 by
NSYNC.
Yes! Sorry, I wanted to make that a game, yeah. But y'all are like,
see what that happened,
music people, yeah. And you know it. So yeah, if you want to hear me kind of butcher those songs a little,
she can sing really well. So I just want everyone here to know.
No, I'm a second soprano, so that's really low for me. Mm. But yeah, so come to those.
Cool. And so Nothing Without a Company, we'd mentioned it was nothingwithoutacompany.org.
Yeah.
Are you guys on Facebook?
Facebook and Instagram, cool. Nice. And we're also newly on Twitter, yeah.
What's the handle on Instagram?
Nothing Without a Company.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks, cool. Y'all.
Just the whole thing.
Yeah, and no on nothingwithoutacompany.org, is there like a donate button?
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those donate buttons, I tell you what.
Please so donate.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Burger Park?
7:30.
Nice. Yeah. Are tickets available at the door or just brown paper tickets?
I would recommend getting them advanced just because we don't have a lot of seats and we're later in the run and we're Jeff recommended.
Yeah.
So I would just get them in advance. Yeah. But if you didn't and you're like, hey, it starts in 30 minutes and I can get there on time, you can try to walk up. Mm-hmm. I won't turn you away.
You'll be upstairs.
That's true.
But I doubt anyone would turn you away.
You can, like, stand in the back if you want. I don't care.
I don't care.
More the merrier for me, in my mind.
Nice.
I think. Did y'all have things?
No. Come see the kid thing.
Oh, Gender Breakdown was still happening. I think they got extended. I don't really have a whole lot of information about it. I just saw it.
Is that in Wicker?
Collaboration.
It is in Wicker. It is at Collaboration. And it's great. They tackle a bunch of different issues within the theater community. Also kind of similar to the kid thing. It's just things that you wouldn't think about unless they're brought to your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually really moving. And I really enjoyed it a lot. Lots of powerful women. It's a very diverse cast.
Nice.
Cool. It was great. So I don't know how long they got extended or if it's even a thing right now. But
we're posting this. It is.
We're gonna post this afternoon.
It's 4:30 on Wednesday. Wow. This will be up by 5. Cool. So, cool. Yeah.
Wow.
There's also Pride Films and Plays is doing a super lesbian show. I can't remember what it's called.
Yep. Or the roller derby play.
Who doesn't want to go see a bunch of ladies rolling around?
Also, yeah. Another really diverse cast.
I love a good diverse cast.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah.
Super important.
Cool. All
what right, other well, gay stuff is happening? I'm sure there's more stuff.
Phantom Pain. We're going to go see that.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Yes.
You don't ever remember that it's called that, but that's what we're going to.
I love gay things. So.
That's an older lesbian show, too, for older lesbies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the lesbies.
All the lesbies.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually omnisexual, but I love lesbies, too. Yeah,
great.
Cool. All right. Well,
thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to hear or see more of what we're up to, you can head over to scopymag.com. You can see old articles there, a few different other things, list of our podcast episodes.
If you're a journalist and you want a cool $15 in your pocket and you can write an AP style, shoot us an email at scopymag@gmail.com. Shoot us a story
pitch.
Story
a little
pitch.
Bit about yourself.
Yeah, and we'll get in contact with you pretty soon. Just so you know, if you do want to contact us, Daniel is overwhelmed by emails. I am much better at emails. So as the managing director of Scopy Magazine, you should contact me. Because, yeah. I'm a fan of that.
They're pretty good on Facebook, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a collaborative effort, me and Daniel reaching out to you. Yeah.
Otherwise, you can find us on Facebook under Scopy Magazine. You can find us also on Instagram and Twitter at Scopy Mag, S-C-A-P-I-M-A-G.
And as always, I want to emphasize the importance of donations. As I said a couple episodes ago, Daniel dropped his camera and dented the lens.
Oh, no.
So any donations at this point are welcome. Luckily, you've been so wonderful with donations that we were able to immediately replace it. But we'd love to get that company kitty a little bit higher. You can head to our website, scopymag.com. Go to anywhere on our website. We've put buttons everywhere to make it super easy to donate. We've been so moved by everyone who's given so far. Every time we get a new notification of a donation, we just like weep bitter tears. So, yeah, give a little, give a lot. And if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.